Welcome to the Coffee in the Barn. I'm Casey Bradley, president and founder of the Sun's Wine Group. If you are thinking about entering, changing, advancing, or reinventing your career in the animal science industry, we are here to help you succeed. In each episode, we will cover a variety of topics surrounding work, life, and professional development, leveraging my 20 plus years as a global leader within the livestock industry and my ever-growing professional network to interview other leading professionals. We couldn't do this without our sponsors, NutriQuest, IFF, and Continental Search. Reach out to us on our social media platforms or visit thesunswinegroup.com and subscribe now not to miss another episode.
Thanks for joining for this episode of Coffee in the Barn. My name is Marissa LaRose, and I serve as a student member on the Coffee and Careers in Animal Science Committee, as well as have served as an extern for the Sun Swine Group, mainly overseeing Coffee and Careers in Animal Science, as well as Breaking New Grounds, a mentorship program, and was asked to host one of the episodes of the Coffee in the Barn. And today I'm going to get to interview one of my mentors who is also a participant on the Coffee and Careers Committee, Amanda Minton. Amanda and I were connected via Barry Delks, who is the career coordinator for Purdue Animal Sciences. And when I was deciding whether or not I wanted to go to grad school or what exactly I wanted to go to grad school for, Barry connected me with Amanda, and we sat and had probably a couple hour long conversation. And she just kind of shared with me her story on, you know, the route she pursued with schooling and what she suggested, and really just let me talk out what my plan was and what I was really interested in. And so I'm very thankful that Amanda was able to serve in a capacity as a mentor for me. And I'm glad that we have been able to stay connected in these few years as I graduated from Purdue and am now wrapping up my master's at South Dakota State. So I'll go ahead and turn the floor over to Amanda and let her introduce herself a little bit.
Oh, hi, Marissa. Thanks for having me. Yes, my name is Amanda Minton, and I'm the Associate Director of Reproductive Technology for Acuity.
With your current role, do you want to give a little bit of a description on what exactly your role entails and what your day-to-day life looks like?
Sure, yes. I oversee boar stud operations for Acuity, and that includes leading a team of about 20 people. I also lead reproductive-focused research efforts and provide on-farm reproductive support. So I've been with Acuity / the Mashoffs the last 8 to 9 years.
Awesome. So when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up? Is what your role is now kind of what you envisioned you'd always do? Or was there some other path that you thought you might pursue that didn't end up going the way you thought?
Well, no, I didn't know this is what I wanted to do. But so as a kid, as I think back, you know, into my grade school days, I actually distinctly remember when I was in fourth grade, I decided I wanted to become the first woman president of the United States. That didn't happen. I don't really care much for politics that much. And so I'm not really sure why I decided that. But then later on, when I got into junior high, I thought I wanted to play basketball in the WNBA. That didn't work out either. I wasn't that great at basketball. But as I got into high school, I was really involved in FFA and took agriculture classes, including animal science. I also worked for a local mixed practice vet in the summer. So those things, along with showing livestock in 4-H and then growing up on a small sheep farm, influenced me to want to work in animal agriculture in some capacity. So when I started at Purdue, I was an animal science major with a pre-vet concentration, like 80% of the students that enter animal science. So once I started taking more animal science classes, I decided I wasn't really that passionate about it. And so later on in my undergrad career, I got more interested in pigs. So it really wasn't until the end of my schooling that I kind of decided I want to be in the swine industry.
You stated that you went to Purdue for your undergrad. Do you want to talk a little bit more about where your career led you after you left Purdue, as well as your career path from your education on?
Yep. So my first role was a management trainee with PIC, which is a swine genetics company, after undergrad. So I moved to Kentucky. And as part of that program, I started working at one of the sow farms. And that was probably the best move I could have made because I had no commercial pig experience. And if I wanted to work in swine production with commercial farms, felt like I needed some experience. There were a lot of times, a lot of days after I was done working at the sow farm that I go to the PIC office and work on different projects. I also moved to other locations temporarily, Iowa to do a breeding project at Iowa Select, Wisconsin to do boar and gilt selection. And I helped with the performance validation team with research trials. And so at the end of that 2-year period, I had a lot of great experiences with the company. And then I ended up working in customer service. And then at that point, I decided to go back to grad school. And so I actually called Barry Delks, whom you know well at Purdue and Career Services and Animal Science. And Mike Neary was my advisor while I was at Purdue and consulted with my parents on what schools to consider. And Dr. Neary was quick to say that if I wanted to study repro, I needed to go to Mizzou. And so I looked up who at Mizzou did more applied, the most applied swine research work, and it was Tim Safransky was listed. And so I reached out to him, and he happened to have a USDA-funded grant on heat stress and sows and needed a student to start pretty quickly. And so Matt Lucy was the co-investigator. And I remember visiting campus on a really hot July day and then started grad school that August. So my goal was to go to grad school and then find a technical services or applied research position. So at the end of that period, then I interviewed for a research position with the MASHAS, but didn't get it. So I also reached out to Noel Williams at PIC, and they were looking to hire more of a technical services person to service boar studs and sow farms, both domestically and internationally. And so I decided to take that position and move to Tennessee. So I was there for about 4 years, and I traveled a lot, both domestically and internationally, but had some really great experiences internationally. Went to a lot of different countries and learned about pig production in a lot of different parts of the world. But also during that time period, I got married, and my husband was doing his PhD at Mizzou. And so I moved to Mizzou and did some and worked remotely from Missouri. And during that time period, we had our first child. And when she was getting close to a year old, I decided it was time for a change. And the international travel no longer appealed to me. I didn't want to spend as much time on the road. So about the same time, actually, Clint Schwab happened to be at a mutual acquaintance house of my parents. And during the course of that conversation, they told him what I did, and he said he might have a job I'd be interested in with the MASHAS. And I'd always kind of admired the MASHAS just because of their innovative spirit and like the research that they did. And so I interviewed for the boar stud service manager position with the intent of working some repro stuff in over time, and got that job. And my responsibilities included operational oversight of the boar studs. There was one in Nebraska, one in Illinois, and two in Missouri at the time. And I visited each stud monthly. And then over time, my position started to include more of a repro research component. And then finally was promoted to AD of reproductive research for the MASHAS. And I've continued those responsibilities with the transition to acuity.
Awesome. Would you say that going out into the industry before you went back to grad school, what other than just providing experience, was there any sort of other outlooks that it gave you into the industry that really benefited you when you went back to school?
I think so. I mean, in terms of going back to grad school, I think I had a different perspective than I would have as an undergrad going to grad school. I approached it much more as a job. I think I probably got a lot more out of grad school than I would have if I would have gone from undergrad straight to grad school. And plus, like you said, just exposure to different types of positions within the industry. I mean, I didn't know what all there was, to be honest, when I started with PIC. And as I saw some of the roles that people had in technical services and the ability to go help customers and try to solve problems and troubleshoot, and that really appealed to me. But I also understood that I needed an advanced degree to really be successful in that kind of position.
Was there any like really hard lessons that you had to learn throughout your career that kind of opened your eyes to maybe changing the way you did something or maybe changing jobs in that sense?
So there's a few, I guess, lessons I've learned. The first, you know, when I started working, I worked all the time. I worked at PIC, I worked in the barn, then I came to the office and worked on projects. And you know, there are times I wouldn't leave the office until 7 or 8 at night just because I was working on things. And while I believe that, especially when you first start out, that you should work really hard and put your time in, that also kind of isolated myself from making any new connections and relationships in a new place, right? So that was a little bit of an eye opener, right? And I realized that, you know, I wasn't doing anything else but working. And so I needed to put some boundaries in place on a personal level and make myself not work all the time. At that point in time, I was single. It's by myself, but really needed to kind of make myself do some of those things. I guess the second part in terms of hard lessons is that managing people is not the same as leading people. And leading people is hard, and sometimes it's really hard. And I don't have all the answers, and I still don't have the answers today, but I do know that as a leader, if you trust and care about your people, they will respond in the same way. And I didn't know that there could be so much just grief and sadness along with joy, but it could come along with leading those you care so much about. I mean, one of my managers passed away. One of my manager's spouses passed away. I've had to close four studs and tell people they no longer had jobs and had to fire a manager. So none of those things are things that I particularly would want to experience, but they've certainly helped me to grow as a leader.
Awesome. Speaking back to that first point you made on, you know, coming out of school and like moving to a new location where you probably didn't really know anybody and yep. kind of working your life away, working well into the evening. I think that's definitely something that is a good piece of advice for me to take with me as, you know, I'm getting ready to relocate to a new area and I don't really know a lot of people in the area. And, you know, being in grad school, you're used to working all the time. And so I guess it's something that I just need to take into realization that, you know, there's things that you need to do outside of work to take care of yourself and your personal life.
Yes.
Do you think that mindset shifted a lot? Like when you got married and started having kids, were you able to balance your work life and personal life a little bit better? Like draw kind of a little bit of a line of like where things needed to stop and in that sense?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, I think. Yeah. So when I first got married, I still probably worked a lot because my husband was in grad school and he was doing all these rumen fluid studies at the bee farm. And so he was gone a lot. But then especially once we had our first kid and just realizing, you know, how much time I was working. And that was part of the reason that I left PIC was just the international travel takes up a lot of time. And with the MASHAS, I was still traveling, but, you know, it was all within the Midwest and there weren't a lot of weekends that I, you know, had to devote to that. Those life changes certainly change your perspective on how you value work versus the spending time with those that you love.
Young professionals are kind of coming into the industry and have the opportunity to do some sort of international travel. Is that something that you would recommend? Do you think that you benefited a lot from your career from being able to experience some of like the swine industry internationally and just having those experiences?
Yeah, so I think it's really easy to stay within the borders of the U.S., like your perspective, right? So, and once you cross those borders, you learn that there's a lot of different ways to raise pigs. You know, there's so many different ways you can do things and the reason why people do things and just how the different cultures play into things, for me, just served as a really great avenue to know just the variety of ways that you can raise pigs, and there's not one way that's right or one way that's wrong. So that just really helped build my perspective. And I think that'd be invaluable to anybody coming out of grad school just to get some of those experiences.
I definitely think being able to even just travel within the U.S. has kind of opened my eyes in the swine industry, being from Indiana and then moving out a little further west where, you know, it's a little bit more pig country. Just the way things are done and the way they have things set up out here is, I mean, it's not worlds apart, but it is different. The opportunity comes along, I would like to, you know, get the opportunity to do some international travel. I'm not sure when that will come in my career, but I hope that it does.
Yeah.
I know earlier you touched on Dr. Neary and Barry Delk's kind of helping you make that decision and going to grad school. Have you had any other mentors that have kind of influenced some of your career decisions or someone that you may look up to that's kind of helped you along the way?
So as I think about just over the course of my life and just not my career, right? There have been several mentors over the course of my life. And when I was younger, obviously my parents played a crucial part in that, but they were always good to encourage me and my siblings. So I'm the oldest of four kids to do things that made us uncomfortable, like go to 4-H camp or go to the animal science workshops at Purdue or go to the Washington, D.C. 4-H trip in high school. And so they they were good about pushing me out of my comfort zone because they saw the fruit of those types of decisions in their own lives. And there was never an expectation or pressure set by my parents that any of their kids should stay close to home. As hard as it can be for parents, right? They let us choose our own path, wherever that may be. And even I was in fourth grade, we moved from Iowa to Indiana, and that was a big thing for them. And so, but I think that helped shape my view about going places and trying new things, like we've kind of already talked about. I'd say my parents in particular, and then like we mentioned, Barry Delks when I was an undergrad and Dr. Neary. But then in grad school, Dr. Tim Safransky and Matt Lucy were our master's advisors at the University of Missouri. And they really helped me come to love doing applied swine research. I mean, Tim in particular was good about letting his grad students go with him on sow farm visits and teaching us how to communicate and apply the science in a commercial system. And so, you know, the two of them have been mentors throughout the course of my career as well.
Yeah, I think it's awesome that, you know, Purdue has the ability to be able to connect different people. Like, for instance, with Barry being able to connect you and I before I decided on what my route after my undergrad was, but then also just being able to, you know, have all of the advisors there at Purdue, like Dr. Kara Stewart, she served as a huge mentor. And still to this day, I see Kara and, you know, she's always asking, you know, how are things going? You know, how can I help? It's really nice that this swine industry is so small that you may not realize how many people may serve in some sort of mentor capacity for students.
Yes.
You know, I think pretty much everyone you meet kind of makes a little bit of an impact on students, especially yep. Speaking from coming from Midwest AS this past week. It's incredible. It really is.
It is. Yep. Yep. And really, I mean, animal science community is small. The pig industry is small. And whatever industry, and there's always going to be some connection somewhere. And a lot of times those advisors can help springboard those interactions. So it's great.
Okay. So I have one last question for you. So if you could given yourself a piece of advice to your future self, maybe early on in your education or even maybe when you went back to school, what would that piece of advice be?
So one of the things I guess I would tell myself is to take more time for self-investment. And we talked about that a little bit, but really, you know, I wish I would have read more books or listened more podcasts related to leadership and self-development, because it's really not up to anybody else but you to make improvements and for you to be better today than you were yesterday. And so, I mean, I do a lot more of that now than I had when I was younger, but I wish I would have started that a little bit sooner. And I guess if I could, the second piece from my perspective, and I give to you in particular, Marissa, is to seek out more female mentors. And for me, the people that I listed, most of them were male, and they've each served in a great capacity in my life. And some of that's been circumstantial, but you know, I think female mentors are going to be the ones that you can talk to about the struggles of being a mom and working full time outside the home and other topics that really only a female can provide a good perspective around. So that, I guess, would be my second. You asked for one, but I guess I gave you two.
No, awesome. And I guess I lied. I thought of another question. So you actually participated in the Breaking New Grounds mentorship program as a mentor. Could you touch a little bit on that, on how maybe being able to mentor students in a structured, you know, program, how that, you know, impacted maybe the way you mentored or even what you were able to gain as a mentor out of that experience?
Yeah. So I think that's a great program. And I think maybe a few things that I got out of that is one, maybe learning to relate a little bit better to college students. I mean, I don't have a lot of college age students on my team, but just kind of learning to relate to them better and helping them to then understand, you know, just all these questions that they have. And there's probably a lot of questions that we take for granted that college students need and want to know. And so it's just great to be able to connect with them and help guide them and just kind of really be a sounding board for what kind of decisions they were making and what they were going through, not necessarily to give advice. I mean, certainly if they ask for it, but what I found is that more often than not that somebody just needs somebody to talk to and to speak out loud. And most of the time they work things out on their own. But I think it's a privilege to serve in that capacity. And just as young people are trying to explore and figure out what they want to do.
We hope you like this interview. You can listen to this and other episodes on coffeeinthebarn.buzzsprout.com. We will also like to thank our sponsors, NutriQuest, IFF, and Continent Research. We are grateful for supporting us in this journey. Remember to follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram at Coffee and Careers in Animal Science, and our YouTube channel, Animal Science Office Hours. But before we go, we would like to remind you that we just launched our ebook, which presents a series of tips and advice to improve your networking, presentation, and speaking skills, making you stand out among other professionals. Subscribe to our email list by clicking in the link in the show notes to get your ebook, news about future episodes, upcoming events, programs, and more. Also, if you love the Songswain Group's outreach and mission, please consider supporting the cause and buy us a coffee. The link will be in the show notes as well. I promise, the money will keep funding our amazing outreach, our student exchange, and new solutions for animal agriculture. Remember, life is short. Take your coffee in the barn. See you next week.